I'm Caitlin Upstrom. I work with Dr. Hans Klompen at the Acarology Lab at Ohio State University, and I will not be talking about Mesa Brigandii. I will be talking about ants in Ohio and their mite associates. So first off, just a little bit about the importance of ants. Ants are extremely diverse. They're social insects, and they have different lifestyles, such as aggressive and invasive pests, such as the fire ant right here. There's also the fungivores here, Atatexana. And then there's the gentle herders, Chromatogaster with her aphid friends. And I just want to talk also about forest ant mites. So most mites that have been found to be associated with the ants, it's really foresty that they're seeing. The mites are just riding on the ants. But there are different methods that the mites do this. Astigmatids that form these things called deuteronyms. They look like this. This is one riding on the ant head. And they're very different from the adults, and they have suckers to hold them on. The pygmophoroids have specialized furbetic females. And some uropodids make stalks that they stick out on their host. So my research is coming in two phases. The first phase is what I'm going to talk about mostly today, and that's just what's there. And the second phase is what are they actually doing in the ant nest. So what's there is basically just descriptive work, and that's been done a whole lot. There's tons of papers on it. But they don't really know what they're actually doing. Here's a really good example, Rettenmeier in 1960. He found these really awesome mites. They're very big mites, and they're very specialized to fit perfectly on the antennal area of this army ant, perfectly in the mandibles of the army ants, and then also they basically act as the foot of the army ant, and they're parasites there. But as far as what they're actually doing in the nest, little studied. Mostly what has been studied are the very large ones, such as Antenophorus, which is really huge, as you'll see in my next picture. And then there are a couple smaller ones, Petalomium and Laminiella. They've seen to be fungus eaters. Ensliniella is especially interesting. That's a recent study on wasps, and it protects its host wasp from parasitoid wasps. Here's a picture of Antenophorus riding on the underside of the worker's head. And it is a kleptoparasite. It steals food from the workers. So phase one of my research, I formed these hypotheses. I thought that larger colonies would probably have more diverse mite fauna and just more mites in general. That kind of makes sense. I thought that smaller ants would probably have less mite diversity because they form smaller colonies as well. And they just mites are limited as to what they can actually hold on to. If it's really tiny, a big mite can't hold on to it. And I thought there would probably be host specificity going on because mites lead such different lifestyles, and so do their ants. So here's an example of someone that overpacked her carrion. These are a whole lot of histiostomata deuteronyms riding on this worker. And part of foresty is that they're not actually harming their host. They're just holding on. A lot of them don't even have functional mouth parts. But she can hardly see, so I'm not really sure if they're really not harming her at all. But she is eating. This is her ant food here. But that's sort of a rare example. Usually I don't see them quite that crowded. So this is my results of my collections around Ohio. In examples where I collected more than two colonies, I had got 8 genera total of ants. And the number of species of ants are listed here for a total of 18 species of ants, 61 colonies. As far as mite species go, this is showing in just the genera the number of different mites that I found, but the actual total number of different mites over all of those genera was about 50 or greater. I'm still working on identification. When I collected the colonies, I would bring them to the lab and I would rear them there, an artificial ant diet, and I would check the alates if there were any in the nest, and I would also always check the workers to see what kind of mites were on them, and I would individually inspect them. So I wouldn't just kill a big pile of them because you wouldn't be able to see where the ants were actually on them. So I recorded where the mites were holding on. And if there was a queen, I would try to check her and not kill her because that would kind of kill the colony. But I also checked the food and also the fungus that grew on the food. It's an artificial ant diet, as I said, that basically all ant people use when they're feeding their ants. And I did find there's quite a number of mites on their food. Often I would also find them on the dead ants. They usually make a little pile in their colony of dead ants. And I did find a couple on the brood, but I did inspect the brood if there was brood available. And lastly, when the colony started to kind of go downhill, I would throw it on the Berlacy funnel and see what came out at the end. So this is a picture of some astigmatid mites on the ant food. So there are some acarids, those are the really large fat ones, and that's Sankastania that I identified. Histiostoma, I found a whole lot of deuteronyms, and I'm still working on identifying them because a lot of them look a lot alike. But this is an adult that has decided to eat the ant food. But you can see I found a little more diversity in the acarids here. This is a picture of the astigmata deuteronyms actually on the host. The Acanthomyops clavager has Schwebius, species 1 that I identified, and I only found the Schwebius species 1 on this species of ant and only on this segment of the leg. Sometimes there would be two lined up here. I also found Histiostoma on this species, and two different species of Histiostoma are found basically in the same location of the ant and actually throughout the ant body underside, so they aren't as specific as to where they attach, it seems. As far as heterosticks go, they're kind of a little larger. And Neopygmophorids, I found only one genus. And four species of Petalomium were found, and they were all on different ant species. Scuticarids, I found three different genera. Here's a picture of Imperipes, species 1, riding. This is the petiole of the worker and the gaster of the worker. And they would wedge up to three in this little area, and they were always in that area. Here's another Imperipes species that I found in the larva. I think this one deserves some extra attention if I can find some more of them, because if they're on the larva, they could be harming the ant colony. Also, I found a Scutacris, and this is in the antennal groove of this species of ant. And I would also find an Imperipes species on the underside of the, between the worker's legs, between the cocci of the same ant. So they seem to have specialized areas of the ant that they attach to. Here's a diagram showing the host specificity that I seem to be seeing. And it looks like Diversipes and Scutacris all have a single host that they prefer. Imperipes, maybe not so much, although Acanthomyops was once considered a subgenus of Lasius. And it seems like Imperipes too does seem to specialize on a phenogaster, but there is a Lasius species in there. Mesostigs are the largest ones, and I found a Holoaspina on inside of a pupal case, but they're considered to be free-living predators, so I'm not sure. That would require a little more observation. It could just been a chance that they're hanging out in there, but it's interesting just the same. Cosmoleolepts I found a whole lot of, and I would find them on the dead ant piles, I would find them on the brood, and sometimes on the workers. And digamacellids were usually just walking around in the colony on the soil. Another mesostig, the uropodids. Oplites was especially interesting to me. I would find them paired up on the workers' back legs hanging onto the spine between the tibia and the tarsus. And in many cases, I would find them paired up male and female, which is extremely good way to travel. If you're going to go somewhere, you might as well go with a mate and make lots of babies. This is just a specific example I want to show of a single colony of Lasius umbratus, which they herd root aphids and tend them underground. They live in the wood, and they make very large colonies. So I did collect a lot of Lasius umbratus, and you'll see they have a lot of different mites. So here, this is just single colony, two different species of Histiostoma deuteronyms. And in some cases, the Histiostoma were so packed onto the workers that they would stack on top of each other just so they could get a ride. Also, some acarids. There were the deuteronyms that I found on the workers, but also an adult that I found on the ant food. Heterostigs, an Imperipes species, and a Pygmophoroid larva. We're still working on identifying that, which could possibly be the offspring of Petalomium species 1, but they don't look that much alike, so we're having some trouble. And then there's the mesostigs here. These were all just found walking on the soil, Dendroleolaps, Cosmoleolaps, and a uropodid. So phase two of my research is sort of my future study. I've started on it, but I don't really have as much to present as I'd like, but it's geared toward the behavior of what the mites are actually doing in the nest. So these are my collection of mites that I'm rearing in plastic containers, and I have had some success rearing them on the ant food, actually. So I'd like to remove them from the host colony, which I've been doing, and then try introducing them back to the host colony, see if they're accepted, see if they slip through the defenses. Also, I'd like to introduce them to the same species, but a different colony, and see if they recognize that. And lastly, some cross-species studies to see if they are host-specific. I also would like to make some duplicate colonies for experimental things. And to do that, the only queens that you can really get in large number are the Tetramorium cespidum and Formica species. They come right up to the Museum of Biological Diversity where I work in like hundreds. So I can get a whole lot of colonies going of those. And lastly, I just want to check my data and collect more data to see if ants with different lifestyles, whether they're, you know, meal bug herders or predators, if they have different mites on them. So in conclusion, all multiple colony collections did have mites. So there were actually 50 different species of mites, and many of them are species specific. It does seem like larger colonies have more mites. I found a couple colonies of small number and also small size of the ants, and they only had like one mite on them. And I did find some mites on the brood and the food, and that I would like to inspect a little farther to see if they are causing any damage in the colony. And as I said, there was host specificity in some groups but not others. And not only are they host specific sometimes, but they also are attachment site specific on a single worker. And lastly, I'd like to thank these wonderful people for supporting me and helping me throughout my project. Any questions? Yeah, so he asked if the colonies were taken from urban habitats or natural habitats or a combination. And in fact, they were taken from a combination. I would basically collect ants wherever I could find them. And there are some really great areas right around campus, some small parks. But I also went to some like public land areas that are very, very rich in diversity, I think. And I got some there. But I was checking in soil and in trees, dead trees, in logs, so I was just kind of scanning everywhere for him. Yeah, Fred.
You say that your mites are often host specific. Was that based on many replicates?
Yeah, so if you look back at my, he asked if the host specificity was based on replicates. And if you look back at my the table, I didn't put like every single species of ant and how many different mites were on them. But yeah, in like a single colony, it'd be like a Phenogaster rutus, and I would get another Phenogaster rutus, and it would have the same species of mite, but it'd be the only time I'd ever see those.
By looking at the calicery, are you able to make some assumptions about what these mites are doing in the colony?
Yeah, there are some. It looks like they would be perfect for snatching nematodes, their calicery, or maybe they're really, really small, and that'd be good for fungus feeding. So. I don't know. I haven't looked that closely, maybe. Yeah, thanks.
Okay.
Thank you.